I'd like you to turn to Luke 1 as we continue in our discourse of Zechariah's Song of Salvation. There are three primary covenants that he's dealing with here. He's already talked about the Davidic covenant, which we saw in the latter part of verse 69 through 71. And now from verses 72 to 75, we will be dealing with the Abrahamic covenant. Now, while historians might debate history in regards to the most significant event that's ever occurred, history itself has already answered that question. The most monumental event of all that was coming was the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. One notable example of that is the division of history into or from BC, before Christ, and AD, Anno Domini, in the year of the Lord. Calendar that you and I follow today reveals the unsurpassed significance of Christ's incarnation. It is history's great dividing point. It's the pinnacle of God's redemptive plan in regards to this coming into the world. And after living a sinless, perfect life of obedience to God's law, he died on a cross, bearing the sins of his people. And because he, referring to the Father, treated Jesus as if he lived their sinful life, because the Bible says that he who knew no sin became sin. There is a time in a historical point in God's plan of this redemption that he transfers the guilt, the rebellion, the punishment of the guilty to his Son. And then God now is able, by his grace, to treat the redeemed as if they lived Jesus' perfectly righteous life, because now they have the imputation of the righteousness of God on them, in them. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 4 is just an example of that theological truth. In the incarnation, substitutionary atonement, someone who took our place, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ are the Bible's overarching themes. As Gail in his prayer this morning mentioned, that even from Genesis 3:15, that pronouncement of one that would come to remedy the problem that ensued in regards to man's failure to obey God and to follow him correctly. Eventually, as the Bible begins to open up and flesh all this out until the consummation of the eternal state, is God working out this redemptive plan. Prophesied in the Old Testament, revealed in the New Testament in the coming of Jesus Christ. The Old Testament, most notably, Isaiah 53, anticipated the death of Messiah as the ultimate sacrifice of the Old Testament sacrificial system. The Gospels give the record of Jesus' sinless life and the sacrificial death. The Acts and the Epistles are commentary on the theological significance of his life, death, and resurrection. Revelation gives the details of his return and the millennial reign on earth and his eternal reign in the new heavens and the new earth. In Zechariah's day, this priest, who is theologically absorbed in the writing of the prophets. The Jewish people were eagerly waiting Messiah's arrival. We find certain individuals that are primed for this, longing for the coming, the setting up of the kingdom, the restoration of the land. And Zacharias is one of them. In chapter 2, verse 38, Annas the prophetess, it says, all she was in the temple proclaiming the in regards to the redemption of this one, referring to Jesus Christ, for all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem, the birth of Zechariah's son, John the Baptist, is filling Zechariah with anticipation of Messiah. The angel Gabriel had told him that John would go as a forerunner. This before him will be the Messiah, is the one he's going to proclaim. Go to him. Repent. Go to him. He is the Lamb of God who will take away the sin of the world. I must decrease. He must increase. John, according to the angel, speaking to Zacharias, that his son would come to be that forerunner in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah knew that if his forerunner, his son, had just been born, he's 8 days old, he'd just been circumcised, Zechariah now is loosed from his muteness and now being filled with the Holy Spirit begins to give this benediction, this blessing. And as befits the priest, this man who had been devoting his life in the study and the teaching of God's law, he sings a hymn of adoration, but with strong theological foundings of strong foretold covenants that God would solidify with his people, namely the Abrahamic, Davidic, and New Covenant arrangement. But anyone that comes to faith in Jesus Christ must enter into the New Covenant and become a seed of Abraham spiritually and will be ruled by this same King forever and ever. And as we mentioned last week, that rulership begins at the point of salvation. You're surrendered already to him, living your life under his mastery as he leads and guides and directs and empowers you to live for him. So, having referred to the Davidic covenant in verses 67 to 71 in chapter 1 of Luke, Zacharias now is going to turn to the Abrahamic covenant in verses 72 to 75. He gives the background. He gives the promise, and then the fulfillment in this coming Messiah. Beginning now in verse 72, and I'm actually going to start verse 67 so we can continue with the flow. So I'll start with his beginning of his benediction. Now his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit, prophesied, saying, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he spoke by the prophet of his holy, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us." Now verse 72. "To perform the mercies promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear and hope.